Well, thank you so much, band, and I appreciate you. And I also want to say a quick thank you to all those in the audiovisual side of things this morning who have been a tremendous blessing to me personally and also to the Flat Creek family. In fact, Flat Creek family, I want you to know that I'm grateful for your patience, your understanding during this unique time in our lives. Please know this, that you are seen and you are valued, and I love you. And I want you to know if this is a blessing to you, we want to encourage you to share this to others, so it'll be a blessing to them. In this past week, we've looked at the news cycles that come and go, and we find similar words popping up each and every day. And some of those words are pandemic, national emergency, fear, worry, concern, alarmed, and even our own Georgia, for the first time, heard the words public health emergency due to COVID-19. I hope one of the things that the coronavirus does is reminds us of our desperate need for God, and I hope that God will use his ministers to preach his word to sick in order to draw fearful and dying men to himself. You see, if we're not careful and we follow the news cycles, it can become so easy to lose focus of God's provision for our lives that we begin to worry and fret about our future. In the greatest sermon in all of the world that we have in our Bibles, in Matthew chapter 6, and I want to invite you to turn there. I want you to see Jesus' words from one of the greatest sermons, the Sermon on the Mount. I want us to look at his words as he deals with the subject of worry, of anxiety, of fret. And I want to draw your attention. I want to draw your eyes to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Listen to the word of God from Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 25. And the word of God says this, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is your life not more than food and your body not more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" Verse 28 goes on to say, "So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you," Jesus says, "even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into an oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." You see, we worry about so many things. We worry about mortgage payments. We worry about having a job. We worry about health insurance. We worry about who we're going to marry. We worry about how we're going to pay for college. We simply just worry. Ultimately, our worry is a wrestle for control. I'm not sure if you're aware of that or not, church family, but we wrestle for control. We try to control the economy, but we can't. So all we do is worry about it. We try to control our future. We can't, so what we do is fret about it. We try to even control other people, but we quickly realize we can't, so we worry about it. We try to white-knuckle and control our jobs, but we can't, So we worry about it. See, Jesus knew that we were going to worry, that worry was going to be a great part of our lives. So what we learn from Jesus is this. What I want to give you this morning is this, church family. When we put worry into God's hands, He puts peace into our hearts. You see, when we take all that fret, all that worry, and we put it in the hands of God, He gives us His peace. He gives us understanding. In these few verses together, verses 25 through 34, Jesus points to the Christian attitude of faith and trust in His provision. I don't know what's going to take place over these weeks and months and years to come, but this I know, we can trust in the provision of our God. Six times in these short few verses together, six times you can see here down through verse 25 through 34, He says in verse 25, do not worry about your life. He says in verse 27, do not worry about adding one cubit of your stature. He says in verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? In verse 31, He says, therefore do not worry. In verse 34, He says, therefore do not worry about tomorrow. So let us examine a few things about worry. How can we win over worry? Well, let's begin with defining worry. In verses 25 through 26, our text begins with this one little word, therefore. Referring back to the previous verses in which Jesus is sharing that the believer's only master is God. That you have to choose whether it's going to be God or money. The previous section explains how it is possible to be, how it is not possible to be slave to God and money at the same time. You have to make a choice. We should not act as though possessions were the all in all, the end all. Dear friends, I know that we need the bare essentials of life. I know that we need the TP of life. I know that we need hand sanitizer. But listen to me this morning, that even if you strip those things away as a necessity as they are, dear friends, we can praise God even in the midst of a storm. You strip all that away, dear friend, the clothes on our back, which we're grateful for, that is such the praise of our life that we have the cars that we have, the jobs that we have. You strip it all away, dear friends, we can still worship a living God because He is resurrected out of the grave. He is alive today, and our entire being and what this text is saying is in this life. He says, don't worry about your life. That right there is not just the bare necessities. It's the medical. It's the mental. It's the physical. It's the emotional. It's the spiritual. That term defined by worry, the original language means this. Do not worry. It means that you're being pulled in opposite directions. When we worry on the inside, we're being ripped in opposite directions. That's why Jesus said, do not worry, six times in these short few verses. He gives us such rich imagery to demonstrate His point. He begins to look upward in verse 26. He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Now, please don't make the mistake that these birds are lazy creatures. They're not just sitting there waiting to be fed. No. No, they are very busy. They gather insects. They gather worms. They prepare their nests. They care for their young. The birds, with their absence of care, teach us something about the reliance on God. It's worth noting Jesus did not say their heavenly Father feeds them, but He says your heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father feeds them. It's a stark contrast between the birds of the air and the disciples, who are of much greater worth. The principal point is this. It is God who gave life. And if God gives us life, surely we can trust Him to give us food and sustain life. If God gave us bodies, we can trust Him to clothe these bodies as well. Well, we're describing now worry. We've defined it. It's tearing us apart, but let's describe this a little bit more. Jesus takes us from bird watching to now doing math. He asks a series of questions about the basic needs, like stature in verse 27. clothing in verse 28, food in verse 31. The conclusion Jesus reaches confidently, I might add, is your heavenly Father knows the need, these needs you have. He knows all these things in verse 32. In other words, it's a useless practice to worry. I want you to hear me, church family. It's a useless practice to worry. Worry is also a faithless practice as well. You see this in verse 28 through 30. Jesus goes a little bit further. Worry is needless. It is faithless. But in verse 27, a person does not add one thing to his life by his worries. Have you ever wished you were a little bit taller? You feel like you're short, you want to be taller, but worry can't even grow you an inch. Have you ever thought about your weight? I wish I was a little bit thinner, but worry had never lost a pound. Worry's never solved a problem. You know, worry has never even dried a tear. Worry's not ever lifted a burden, nor has it ever removed an obstacle. Worry has never made a bad thing good or a good thing even better. Therefore, I submit to you, worry is simply a useless activity. But I told you a moment ago, it's also a faithless activity. If you're following these verses along with me this morning, Jesus transitions to botany. We went from counting math, now we're in botany. He says, consider the lilies of the field. Look at the flowers. The flowers do not worry. And God takes care of them. We were never made for worry. But why? Because you have a heavenly Father that wants to meet every single one of your needs. Can I give you a verse just to hang on to over these next days? Isaiah 26, verse 3 says this, you will keep him in perfect peace. God will keep you in perfect peace, who his mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. When Jesus was speaking of the lilies of the field, one day they bloomed on that beautiful hillside of Palestine. And yet in their brief life, they were clothed with this beauty that surpassed even the robes of a king like Solomon. When they died, they were used for nothing more simply than burning. Jesus is invoking a discussion from the less to the greater in verses 28 through 30. If God provides for the short-lived grass, he will certainly provide for his children made out of his image. Second, if God dresses the wildflowers with such beauty, then he will certainly clothe his children with ordinary garments in which they need. If God gives such beautiful imagery to short-lived flower, how much more will he do for you and me? It is so important for us to press pause, hit time out, stop, and note how the Lord clothes his children. Does he not clothe the believer in Jesus Christ in holiness? God provides clothes for our bodies in the sense in which he clothes the grass of the field. In sense, he does clothe our souls in righteousness. The robe of righteousness, the emphatic divine robe, the clothing is surpassing beauty. The spiritual is greatly superior than the material. Just listen and allow Colossians chapter 3 to wash over you as the Apostle Paul tells us of the way that we are dressed. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. This is how we dress ourselves as followers of Christ. Worry is not a small sin because it simply is an affront to God. It's an affront to God's love and his character. When a believer is not fresh in the Word every day, and I commend you and I miss you for joining us right here, right now. But I want to encourage you over these next days to be in the Word. Be committed to being in the Word every single day and allow the Holy Spirit of God to saturate your mind and your heart, because when we're not there, Satan sees this moment, the enemy sees this moment, moves in to the vacuum and plants worry with his weapons of mass destruction all in our life. Or we could say weapons of mass distraction, as my friend Daniel Henderson says. Worry then pushes Christ further from our minds. The message we communicate with fret is we either don't believe there is a God, or even if we do, we don't believe he's really in control of our lives. Or if we do, we don't believe that he cares. So the question is, how do we win over worry? How do we win over worry in this time that we find ourselves in? Let's talk about how we defeat worry in verses 33 through 34. In these two verses, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's talk about defeating worry. In verse 33, Jesus brings the paragraph to the climax. And our key takeaway, when we put our worries into God's hand, he puts his peace into our heart. There's two things I want you to note, and I want you to stay focused on, and it's this: God's kingdom and his righteousness. When the proper priorities are not promoting peace, it means we've misplaced our priorities, which will multiply worry. Seeking first his righteousness, the kingdom of God, implies obedience to all Jesus' command. That word seek allows the render to be constantly seeking. This is to be our consuming priority. How does a person seek God's righteousness? Jesus started his sermon by pointing out this very fact in Matthew chapter 5, that we begin with spiritual bankruptcy. We have no righteousness of our own. Our best attitude and actions even fall short. Righteousness only comes through the gracious gift of God. It's by faith and grace alone through Christ that any one of us can be called a child of God. The New Testament makes it clear that the righteousness of God comes through faith in Christ alone. In verse 34, Jesus returns full circle to the beginning of the discussion in verse 25, encouraging daily dependence on God. See, worry refuses to learn from the past. When we worry, it's saying, I refuse to learn from the past. But Psalm 42 is in our Bibles, and the psalmist is overwhelmed with life struggles like you may be. He is overwhelmed with life struggles, but he's comforted himself with the memory of what God has done in his life. He finds great comfort in looking back and seeing God's faithfulness in his life. If I can encourage you this morning, the man and woman who feeds their heart on the record of what God has done will never worry about the future when they look back and see God has been so faithful. Worry weakens our strength. It distracts our minds. It drains the very sunshine out of every day. It casts a shadow over all the beauty of God's creation. Look forward, church family, for what God has given you, this wonderful gift in the Holy Spirit of God, bringing all his glory into your soul. Look forward, church family, not for the life that's just on this earth, but for heaven. Not for food and clothing, but for righteousness. For those who hunger and thirst, Jesus said, they will be clothed and they will be filled. Fill your presence with great faith, with patient waiting, with honest work, and with wise, consistent reading of God's word. Well, how are we to live careless in the care of God this week? How are we to win over worry this week? Let me give you three quick things. As we wrap this up, I want to give you three things that you can take with you this week. Number one, shift from control to surrender. In Matthew 6:32, I want to submit to you that we need to shift from control to surrender. Make the conscious effort in your life to shift from worry to worship. God is aware of every need that you have. In fact, the Apostle Peter wrote it in this way, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That word cast means to drop. It just doesn't mean to throw your load on God or to throw your burdens up, but just drop it. Today, would you drop that worry? The reality is that you may have a burden that's so heavy that you can't even throw. All you can do is simply drop it before the Lord. Have you ever carried something that was just so unbelievably heavy you couldn't even begin to think about it? All you can do is drop it. The Bible says, cast it at his feet. Drop it before the Lord. The second movement that we want to give you this morning is to shift from the urgent to the important. Shift from the urgent to the important. The condition here is to give him first place in your heart and your life. The scriptures declare, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Every condition is met with a promise. Jesus promises that he will meet your every need, and we can take him at his word. Lastly, this morning, shift from fearing the future to enjoying today. In Matthew 6, verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worry about its own. God has given you the gift of today. And if you are worried about tomorrow, you cannot live today. So here's what we do, Flat Creek and friends. We put our worry into God's hands, and he will put his peace into our hearts. Today, the president has declared a day where we pray for our nation. We pray for those who have the coronavirus. We pray for those who are sick. I don't know your worry, but I know this. We need to turn our worry list into a prayer list, and we simply need to drop these things before the Lord. I want us to take some time this morning and pray with one another, pray for one another. Maybe you would make a circle in your home and you would pray with your family or your friends. Or maybe this morning you would just simply bow your head with me as we pray for our president, his cabinet, our governor, our state leaders, our community leaders, our first responders, our fellowship at Flat Creek Baptist Church. We want to pray for you. And we want to do that now. We want to bend our knees and bow our hearts before the living God of Israel. And knowing this, that Jesus is making intercession with us and for us right now. Would you bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me this morning? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for President Trump. And Lord, we pray for wisdom over his life, his cabinet's life. We thank you for 1 Timothy that commands us to pray for our leaders. So Lord, we come and we bring them before you. We pray for our governor, Governor Brian Kemp. God, we thank you for his leadership. We pray you would grant him discernment, as well of our state leaders at the legislature and also our local community leaders. I pray that you would guide our superintendent as he makes very difficult decisions. Lord, I'm grateful for first responders who are running in as many of us are running out. God, I'm thankful for those heroes today. I pray you protect the EMT workers, the doctors, the nurses, and all the in-between. God, I thank you that you are on your throne and nothing's come to you by surprise. Lord, I pray now for our church family. Give us greater faith and stronger faith in these strange days. Lord, our desire now is to turn that worry list into a worship list where we know that we can trust in your provision. Lord, so we cast and we drop our burdens before you. Lord, we just release them before you. Free us. Remind us that your grace is sufficient, that your power is made perfect in our weakness. God, thank you for modern technology where we can worship together in this format. We love you. We thank you for your living, active word. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.